When we choose love and compassion, we create connection. In my Life and Laughter podcast, we find ways to choose love over fear. I'm your host, Perry Kinder. Hey, everybody, welcome back to my podcast. It is so good to have you listening. I appreciate it so much. You just don't know the joy it brings me to see people who are listening to my podcast. So thank you. Thank you. And today I have a guest I've had on a few times before because he's always so much fun to talk to. Roger Tuttle. Welcome, Roger.
Hi, Perry. It's always a pleasure.
Is it always a pleasure?
Yes, it is.
Roger produces several podcasts in the Valley. He's an award-winning photojournalist. He teaches photography, photojournalism, and documentary filmmaking at the University of Utah. And he is the dog father to Portia, who's sitting here right next to us looking wet because she's been out in the snow. Hey, Roger, welcome.
Thank you.
And this conversation came about. We were talking once after we recorded a podcast about some things that you learned about loneliness. And we were discussing kind of the lack of sensuality that we've lost through technology. You talked about missing, you know, creating film, pictures from film, you know, that the smells of the chemicals and the way that it works as you watch it develop, and all the things that we've missed that technology has kind of put a barrier between us. And I thought, what an interesting concept to talk about how technology has created disconnection in ways we already know, but maybe in some ways we hadn't thought about before, and what we can do about that, not just talking about loneliness and sadness and then leaving it there. We'll have some, hopefully some resolution for what people can do to re-engage in life and to feel better. And you sent some great information about loneliness. You talked about some things that were causing loneliness. Do you want to say some of those that you had on that list there?
So one of the things that I first noticed about, so I've gone back to teaching on campus at the U, and I noticed that the students were a little different, and I'm going, this is weird. And just in having conversations, I think the pandemic has taken a toll, and they've been used to just getting online and doing their thing, you know, whether it's on their phone or on their computer, and being more isolated and disconnected from others. And so now that we're kind of back and face to face, they're not sure how to act, how to respond. And so it's been kind of an interesting challenge to rebuild those relationships and those ways that we typically socially interact. A couple of things I've noticed, and this is one thing I noticed up at the University of Utah, they used to have a booth when you would park that you would get your ticket from a machine and it would dispense a ticket. When you were done, you would go to a booth and hand the ticket to a person, and then they would tell you how much you owed. And so you had this brief interaction. Well, they've replaced these people with kiosks. And my guess is it's a bottom line decision.
Sure.
And but we have all kinds of things like that happening in our lives that we just, we're taking the hit, and we go home and sit down at night and go, I feel so lonely. I feel isolated, and it's becoming a huge problem, not just in the United States, but all over the world.
Yeah. I mean, you look at all the self-checkout stands they have now where you have to go and just, you know, scan your own stuff. And it's nice if you're in a rush, but sometimes that connection with a human being, even just for a few minutes, like you said, with the kiosk being gone, I mean, being there, you know, these little interactions really build up over time. And we have found ways to disconnect from so many of these things that just to be really common. You know, you talk to the mailman or you talk to people walking down the street, and we just don't have those interactions anymore.
It's interesting how they're starting to realize that those self-checkout things aren't so valuable. People are slipping an extra pizza.
Oh, sure. I don't know how theft isn't just skyrocketing for these places.
And they're starting to find that out.
Well, that's a no-brainer. That's just stupid.
And so I think you're going to, I don't know if they'll be able to pull it, rein it back in now.
Right.
But I know they're looking at it and going, this may not be such a great idea. It's convenient, but maybe we should hire a few more people to check people out.
And I know a lot of it is they're not finding people that want to work for these, you know, menial jobs doing nothing for long periods of time and getting low pay. And I know that's, and maybe that's a conversation that society in a whole needs to address. You know, creating smaller places for people to gather together to get their groceries, maybe going back to the mom and pop stores, you know, having a mom and pop store replace Walmart would be the absolute irony, would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because people want that connection.
Even something simple like, so we just got our new credit card, and this one has that, what's that, where you can just...
Oh, the tap thing?
Yeah, you just tap it, right? Well, so you think, that's not any big deal. You know, we used to hand people money.
Right.
And then we handed them our card, mm-hmm. and now they've turned the machine around and we have to do it ourselves.
Right.
It just keeps eroding, and they keep chipping away at relationships that we have with other people.
Yeah. You look at, though, the explosion of farmers markets in the past couple of years, how since COVID they have become so popular. Because I think people are returning to that, you know, going to the local farmer's market and talking to the local farmer and buying your apples there and buying your honey and having those conversations. I talked to a farmer's market organizer, and they're just expanding. So many communities want that in their community because they've missed that. They've missed that connection with people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there's a problem when the UK begins a ministry of loneliness.
I know.
There's a minister for loneliness.
I know. And it's sad, but it's also really a sign of the times. I think it started in 2018 when they first created their first minister of loneliness. And his job was to find ways to bring people together and find programs to support, you know, nonprofits that bring people together. And they've continued it, as far as I know. I know they were doing it up till 2021. I'm not sure they're still doing it. But yeah, that's so telling. I think every community needs a minister of loneliness.
So here's something that's interesting. So a buddy and I used to go grab hamburgers, you know, once a month or so. And it was nice. And we decided, hey, let's include some other guys. And so last Thursday, we went down to a local Mexican place. And we were just sitting around, the four of us, talking. And it was like the coolest thing in the world. And it just hit me. It was like, you know, sometimes you'll go through something and you won't think too much about what you're doing or where you are. Well, this one hit me. Mm. And it's like, this is really cool. And so we were about ready to break up. And I said, hey, let's schedule for next time when we want to get together. And everyone's looking at their calendar and trying to figure out. And someone said, hey, what about the 29th? And one guy says, hey, that's my birthday. And he said, I'm going to be 15. And we laughed. Oh, yeah, you're 15, all right, in your brain. And he goes, no, really? And I'm thinking, wait, February 20th, that's a leap year.
Wow.
You're going to be 60, Robert? So, and just stuff like that is, I don't know. If you don't get together with someone, you don't have that experience.
Yeah. I had the same kind of experience. I went to a city council meeting, which I don't advise anybody do, but please, if that's your thing, do it.
Right.
But I was covering the swearing in of a new police chief in one of our cities here. And it's part of my job to do that, which is fine. So I was sitting there and the police chief was there and his family came in. He had three daughters. He had some grandkids. His friends came in. They were sitting and talking. And then all of the police department came in and they were in the back of the room talking. And his friends came in and sat down and they were sitting around me. And when he was sworn in, after he was sworn in, they just stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And it almost brought me to tears because the energy in that room was so supportive and it was so tangible and palpable. And I'm thinking, this is what we're missing. Technology is a blockage to human energy. We don't share energy with each other through a computer screen or through a phone or through any kind of technology that we're using to communicate. It's being in the room with human beings and feeling their energy is what we're missing as society because we just don't do that. And it was such a flashbulb moment for me. Is that a word, flashbulb? Light bulb? I don't know what's flashing. About how, and I, you know, I'm a like a dedicated hermit. If I could be in my home and never leave and just read and eat, I would never leave my house. But even I know when I need some human interaction. And maybe that's just going to the library and talking to the librarians. And maybe that's going to a shop, a small shop, and talking to the people there. But I can always tell when my energy is low. And that needs to be brought up by being around other people's energy. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, so you know this is a problem when the Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, says that for older Americans who experience loneliness and isolation, it's the equivalent of 15 cigarettes a day.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I know people that would never touch a cigarette in their life.
Right.
But we're more than happy to engage in these moments, these lack of experience or event of isolation and loneliness.
Yeah.
And that's not good for our health at all.
And it spirals so quickly. You get in that moment of isolation and you feel so alone, which brings a level of shame and a level of helplessness. And it's almost harder. It's very hard to pull yourself out of that and to put yourself back into a social situation.
It builds on itself.
Yeah, it builds on itself. And right. You end up being grumpy and frustrated. You look at the archetype of the grumpy old man, you know, yelling at people for get off his lawn, but he's probably so lonely living alone in his house. You know, we have the requisite witch living on our corner when I was growing up, you know, this old lady, she was probably 40, I don't know, but she was this old lady living alone in her house. And she was probably so alone and so miserable, but she'd yell at us kids for turning around in her driveway. And I think, oh, looking back, you know, I could have gone and knocked on her door. I mean, I'm a kid. I don't know anything, but I could have done so many things to alleviate, and the neighbors could have done more to help that. And how often are people in our own neighborhoods falling through the cracks because we're isolated and we don't see them being isolated anymore? Do you see that in your neighborhood?
We're pretty lucky here.
Oh, that's good.
We all know each other and everyone, yeah, we seem to get together really well. But I know that where my daughter lives up in Boise, they don't have that same connection. And a lot of places don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be tough on some people.
Yeah. You know, things here in Utah too, we have a big church community in a lot of our neighborhoods, which can be really good for people who go to church. But people who don't go to church can feel very isolated, can feel very left out of those situations. You know, you think of immigrants that come here and don't know the language, don't know the customs, and how alone they feel. You know, there are just so many levels of loneliness here that we're not addressing anymore, that we're just letting it kind of happen.
And you know, the Surgeon General has identified immigrants and people LGBTQ community that feel isolated and alone. Yeah. And so I think reaching out to all of those people would be beneficial for both parties.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You look at some of the laws being passed, even here in our good old state of Utah.
Right.
That are completely isolating,
yeah.
And completely shaming and judgmental, and that never causes connection.
Yeah.
And we're just making the problem worse, lawmakers. Oh, don't get me started on our legislature. Lots of bitches. So some of the symptoms of loneliness, if you're wondering, am I just lonely or am I just bored? Because there's a difference. I mean, I'm lonely sometimes, but I'm not incapacitated lonely, where some people are, you know, feelings of sadness or emptiness or disconnection that don't go away. Because we all have those days, at least I do have those days when you feel blue, you feel down, kind of have a low day and you kind of, you know, sulk around the house and make people irritated at you. And then it goes away. But for some people that doesn't go away. So if that lasts for a long time, that could be a warning sign, or feeling left out, feeling isolated, feeling like you're misunderstood, which again happens a lot here in Utah, or not heard, feeling like your voice isn't heard, feeling exhausted. And it's funny because being burnt out by social interactions is also a symptom, which I can understand that, because so many of our social interactions aren't created to support each other. They're work meetings, they're places that you go not to sustain each other, but to get something, to get a job done. And I think we need to change the way we do that. I think our ways of meeting isn't helping, because people go to these meetings and don't feel heard. They don't feel valued, which just adds to their feelings of loneliness. What do you think about that? I mean, I'm just rambling now.
No, one of the things. So there were some professors that did a study down at BYU about 3 or 4 years ago, and they found that this loneliness also makes people more hostile and pessimistic.
Yeah.
And you look at the number of road rage cases that we've had that have turned ugly.
Yeah.
And this is likely a contributing factor to those problems.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so strange how how we need each other in ways we never understood. I mean, even before COVID, we were getting to the point where technology was replacing a lot of what we do communication-wise with email and with text. You know, nobody calls each other anymore. Nobody goes to their neighbor's house to talk to them. They send them a text, hey, are you okay? And how COVID really exacerbated that whole aloneness. And I think we're trying to pull ourselves out of it, but the kids, like you talk about your college students, I have a cousin who teaches high school, and I was talking to another U of U instructor, and she was saying that this generation of kids that are coming through college right now have gone through the COVID the past 5 years, that they just don't know how to function in a classroom. They don't know how to show up. They don't know how to be on time. They don't know how to have conversations. And you think how long lasting that's going to be in their lives, because they miss this formative part of their life that should have been so social, you know, going to high school dances and high school sports that they just didn't happen, and how that's going to negatively affect them and how proactive they're going to have to be to remedy that. And I think, oh, what a long haul for these kids to have to relearn how to be human.
Yeah. So here's some things that I think that might be contributing to this problem. We mentioned self-checkout, binge watching.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix, or, you know, pick your streaming source.
Right. Any of them.
Email, like you said. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't have. And you think about how easy it is to miscommunicate your intention, especially if you're trying to be funny.
Right.
Which always gets me in trouble. Direct deposit. So this is weird. It used to be that we would get a check in the mail and it represented the work that we did. Mm-hmm. Well, this direct deposit, now there's, where is it? Right. Where is the acknowledgement of what I've been doing? And we also have problems with social media, obviously.
Yeah, huge, yeah.
This is an interesting one, EarPods. When I see someone with EarPods, I instantly hesitate before I say anything. I'll say something anyway, mm-hmm. and they'll have to pull their EarPod out. And so I'm walking the dog, and I'll see people with EarPods in all the time, and they're just so engrossed in what they're doing that they don't even look around.
Yeah.
Digital photography is also a problem, and here's why. Back in the day, we used to, locally here, we would take our film to a lab, Borg Anderson, and you would meet other photographers and say, hey, what are you shooting? What are you doing these days? And you would have a little conversation after you dropped your film off. We don't have that anymore. Right. And believe it or not, I think the internet with all of the YouTube tutorial videos is causing a problem.
Yeah.
I remember when I was young in my career, I heard this term called synchro sun. And I'm going, I have no idea what synchro sun means.
Right.
And essentially what it means is that you were trying to bring the level of your flash brightness up to the level of the sun and synchronize it with the shutter speed in your camera.
Oh, interesting.
So it's kind of a complex formula, but I had to ask a guy that was an architectural photographer. I had to take him to lunch to get him to tell me.
Was it a secret?
Apparently it was. And so, but in the meantime, I had lunch with him. We talked about things. And now all I have to do is two clicks away, and I'm watching someone that's a master at what they're doing, mm-hmm. and not having any interaction with anyone.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I think it's become, we're becoming more and more of an island.
Yeah.
And it's not healthy.
Yeah.
DoorDash is a problem,
yeah.
Believe it or not.
I mean, I do believe it.
You can't go to, I call it Fred Meyer, but Smith's or wherever, right. wherever you shop, and you see people that are professional shoppers that are putting food in a cart for someone else. Mm-hmm. And I know it's convenient, but there's a price to pay.
Yeah. Like I said, those small social interactions really build. And when you don't have that, you can't sustain your own energy for very long. You really need to have the exchange of energy with other people to survive. That's always been the case.
And I think working from home mm-hmm. is wonderful and horrible.
It is almost, mostly wonderful.
So, yeah, mostly wonderful for our hermit here
exactly.
in the studio. But There's a huge downside. And if you don't take care of the other side of developing those relationships, it was just yesterday that Anna Pro, a graphic designer at the Davis Journal newspaper, was talking about her early days of paste up for a newspaper. And because they had a dozen or more people working shoulder to shoulder doing paste up, as they're working, they're talking and sharing life stories.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard a life story sitting at home working on your computer?
Yeah.
But, oh, it's so nice to work from home. Well, I'm not sure if it is.
Yeah.
Have another cigarette.
You know, it's so interesting. I had to take another job because money and insurance and all that bullshit. But I had to take a second job, and it's a really easy job. I love it so much. It's just working in a little crystal shop in Murray, and the energy there is so palpably strong. And sometimes if I'm driving to work, I'm thinking, oh, I'd rather be home. You know, it's usually in the evenings and it's like, oh, I just want to stay home and read or watch TV. By the time I get there, I walk in the store and my coworkers are so bright. I mean, they're lights in this world. And the people that come into this shop, you don't get a lot of grumpy people coming to a crystal shop very often. We see them once in a while, but mostly they're in there because they want to raise their energy. They want to interact with people. And I can feel my energy rise just being there, being around these people. And it's such a small thing. I'm not working hard. I'm working, but I'm not working hard. I'm not doing anything intellectually stimulating, but it's just being there, just being in the energy. And I realize even in my hermitage state, how much that means to me to be around people like that and how we need to find more chances to be around people like that.
So what have you learned in that process by being around those people?
That I can be around people and actually enjoy it and not what's the word I'm looking for?
They're not as bad as you thought they were.
Yeah, yeah. Humans aren't as bad as I thought they were, but that's not true because humans are pretty terrible. Individuals aren't as bad as I thought they were. And I cannot sustain my own energy myself. That's what I've learned probably the most. I can't sustain a high vibration energy by myself. I need to exchange, like this conversation is huge. It's huge for both of us because we're face-to-face. You know, I have a lot of podcasts that people do over the internet, which is great. I appreciate their time. I appreciate they're doing that with me. But the ones that come into the studio here with the three of us and we talk, there's a different level of energy there. Can you feel that when we do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think one of the things that we do miss, if we think in terms of society, I mean, look at what has happened with our society in the last, well, let's say 5 years, we've started to turn against each other and we're pointing our finger at the other.
Yeah. The bad othering
frequently. Yeah. And I think this is maybe a result of this isolation that we're experiencing and can be technologically driven. Mm-hmm. But so we've lost things like the norms and values of society, of a larger group bigger
than
us.
Right.
And so now we're evaluating the whole world based on what we think, what we feel is important, rather than what's good for the greater good.
Right.
And so, yeah, these are all difficult things to navigate now.
Yeah. And you think of going to the grocery store with my kids when they were little, or going someplace with my kids when they were little, and the chances that you had to offer small kindnesses to people, you know, holding the door open for somebody or helping somebody carry their baby out to the car if they've got their arms full of groceries or whatever it is. We've lost the opportunities for all of these small kindnesses, and our kids aren't watching us do these small kindnesses. They're not learning how to be kind just in a general, everyday sort of way because they're not in those situations anymore. I think that's, like you said, you know, the division, that disconnection from each other's energy is a bigger divide than we ever realize. I mean, we need that in our lives, and it teaches us how to be human. It teaches us how to solve problems together. And the more we don't do that, the more it's going to devolve into a very isolationist society.
I can remember back in the film days of photography, you know, and we had all, you know, kind of cursed the fact that we had to process this film and it took so long to dry and this and this and this and this. Well, digital comes along And the number of guys that are going, oh, I'm so glad digital's here. I don't have to spend any time in the darkroom anymore. And now people are going, you know, I just put a darkroom in my home because here's a couple of reasons. One, you were forced to close the door behind you and leave the outside world outside. The color of the room was different. It was red or orange, depending on your safe light. You had the sound of running water. You got your hands wet. The water was typically cold, 68 degrees for a lot of processes. You had the smell of chemistry. Fixer typically being a strong smell, but there's also stop bath. It was acetic acid. You had all of these smells, sights, and sounds. You get into digital and you're working on this monitor that has no smell and there's not much to touch other than a keyboard or a mouse. Mm-hmm. And so we've now reduced the number of senses that we're engaging down to a bare minimum. And I think we're starting to go, you know what? Those things might have been important. Even though we didn't like them,
right?
We probably need them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have this younger generation going, you know, I shoot film. I really like film.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah, it is.
You know, life is supposed to be sensual. You're supposed to be able to touch things and smell things and taste things. And you can't do any of that, even with virtual reality, even with all the, you know, high technology games that we have. It's not living. You can't live sensually through technology. And we need that. We need to touch each other's skin. We need to touch our pets. We need to smell cookies baking. We need to, you know, see and hear all the nature sounds. And you can't get that in reality on a screen.
You know, you talk about nature sounds. It makes me think when I was printing color, because the safe light you have is such a low illumination, you really can't see much. And so you have illuminated dials, very low illuminated dials, and a lot of sound. And so when I would put the timer on, you would hear this beep, 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 beep. I don't get that with anything I do on the computer.
You could. I mean, you could download a beeping sound.
I guess I could get an app.
Yeah, download the app, the beeping app, so you can feel beeping.
Simple things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that was kind of fun.
Yeah. You know, even the ticking of clocks.
Right.
The ticking of a watch.
Right.
You know, I was talking to Tom and he was watching a show where the murder victim died and they could tell because the watch stopped at a certain time. It's like, who wears watches anymore? What are they talking about? Nobody's going to figure out the time of death by an Apple Watch. That's not going to happen.
Well, he didn't hit his stand hour.
But life needs to be experienced and it needs to be shared. I mean, if you watch a TV show by yourself that's funny and you laugh, that's one thing. But watching it with a group of people, going to a theater and watching a funny movie is one of my favorite things to do.
Right.
Because the energy in that room is huge. You're all just laughing together. Going to a live comedy show and laughing together, you leave feeling so good. Even if you don't know anybody else in the room, you leave feeling so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to do more of that.
So what do we do?
So thank you for asking,
what
Roger.
What should we do?
This is not a lost cause, people. We do have some answers for you. First of all, if you think you're feeling alone, if you're having feelings of loneliness, despair, discouragement, you know, admit it, name it, say, this is me feeling lonely. Because sometimes when you can name something, it takes away its power. I'm lonely. What am I going to do about it? Because you can't wait for other people to fix it for you. Because people are so involved in their own lives, in their own thing. And you can reach out to a friend and say, hey, I'm feeling lonely. You could talk to a therapist. Hey, I'm feeling lonely. But reach out to somebody, name what it is, and then let go of the shame and judgment behind that.
Could I suggest or insert here?
Absolutely.
Call, don't text.
Yes, call, don't text. That's Tom's big thing. My husband, Tom, he hates it when people say, well, I tried to email you. He says, call me. Call
right.
my phone number.
Yes.
And I keep telling him, people don't call each other anymore. Dear, that's not the way the world works. But he wants it to work that way.
It should.
It should.
Yeah, we should encourage it.
We should encourage it. I should start calling people more. Blah, blah, blah.
blah, blah, blah.
I'm a huge texter. So first admit it, that there's something wrong. And don't say that you're good being alone. I say that all the time. I would be fine if I lived in a cave with books. because the excuse to stop interaction with other people, you're hurting yourself. We need to have, like I said a million times in this episode, we need to have that human contact. Call a friend, go to lunch with somebody, take a walk with your dog, go to the park and sit and watch kids play in the park. You know, don't say to yourself, well, that's just because I'm a hermit. I'm an isolationist, whatever the word you use to describe your loneliness. Don't give that any power. Say, okay, I like to be alone, but I also need to interact with human beings as a way to survive on this crazy planet.
I don't want to take up cigarettes.
No, I don't want to start smoking cigarettes. Another good thing to do was to write down some times that you really enjoyed being around people. Maybe you were at a 4th of July parade when you were 5 and your cousins were there and your grandparents were there, and write all of the details down about that. Or maybe last week you went to lunch with some friends and you were laughing so hard you peed your pants. I don't know. Whatever it is, write down a time that you were with people that was a positive experience. Because when we get lonely, we forget that there have been times that we've been around people that have been good. So write those things down. Another great way to get out of the loneliness spiral is to volunteer, which helps in so many levels, because you're volunteering, you're not dedicated to being around these people all the time. You go there when you need to, you show up, you're around humans. Maybe you're just gathering food for a food drive. Maybe you're collecting coats for the homeless shelter. Whatever you're doing, you're volunteering, you're showing up, you're around people, you're giving back, you're getting something from that energy. And then you can go home and feel better. So volunteering is a great way to get out of your cycle of loneliness. Plus, it also kind of gets rid of the, you know, poor me, woe is me, oh, I'm so sad all the time. Taking a class, and like you said, not an online class, take a class in person, which takes a little bit more time and a little bit more structure, but carving that time out to learn how to paint or learn how to do Zumba or learn how to drive a car or whatever it is you need to learn how to do it with another person. Because it's funner, you realize that you're not good at it and the other person isn't good at it either, and you learn together. So taking a class in person is huge. Get a pet, because pets will save your life. Get a cat, a lizard, dog, a frog, whatever it is that you like to cuddle with. Maybe not a boa constrictor, unless that's your thing. Get a boa constrictor. They're not very emotional. But they found that people that have pets are significantly less lonely than people who don't have pets. So even if you're not a pet person, whatever that means, maybe get a caterpillar. I don't know. Be creative. Find something alive and take care of it.
Yeah, right.
And turn what you feel as loneliness, if you're home alone and feeling lonely, maybe reframe that to call it solitude. This is my solitude time. And in my solitude time, I like to create. Maybe I'm going to play music, or I'm going to write music, or I'm going to write a poem, or I'm going to make some cookies. I'm choosing to be alone with myself at this time, but I'm going to create something while I'm here, because creation is an energy. And what about you? Do you have any ideas? I think that's all I have. My mind's done.
I think that one of the things that we can, that as we do these things, it will benefit our community at large. I mean, we don't think about that. If I'm doing better, or if I'm doing well with my relationships with others, I see the world differently. Mm-hmm. It's not so divisive. It's not so us and them. It's now all of us. And so I think as you engage in these things, and you had mentioned it, bake some cookies and take them to a neighbor.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
I did that a while back to a neighbor, and I'm glad I did. I didn't know he was diabetic.
Whoops.
And he says, you know what? I'm just going to have one cookie anyway.
Don't go into a coma.
Yeah, you don't have to. No, I'm going to do this. And I didn't know he was diabetic. So now I know something about Joe that I didn't know before.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you learn about your neighbors. And so I think just that simple act of knowing, I could name you, my neighbors, every house that we see around here, I could name who lives there. Mm. And that's a good thing. And yeah. So what we're doing is we are building up this reservoir of resiliency to future challenges.
I love
and
that.
We don't even know it. We can't anticipate what our future challenges will be. But we can build up a reservoir for when they do come, because they're going to come. Mm-hmm. And you certainly want to have a reservoir ready to be able to handle whatever may happen.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you don't have that, then you are alone. And that's overwhelmingly discouraging.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. I know we talked to Lisa Diamond, I think it was episode 40-ish. She's a researcher at the University of Utah, and she talked about the epidemic of disconnection with women here in the state, that almost 50% of women didn't have one person they could call in an emergency. They didn't feel that they had anybody that had their back. And we need to counteract that. You know, find one person, make one friend. You know, I've been on a mission the past few years to learn how to make friends, because I never learned how to do that. I grew up with a husband, not Tom, who really discouraged me having friends. And so it was never something I had to learn how to do. And it took me a long time to admit, well, I probably need some friends. And it's been great. It's been so much fun. You know, I've done fun things and I've learned fun things. And it's been fun knowing I do have someone I can call if I'm just having a bad day, or if I just want to go get a glass of wine, or if I just want to go wine. I mean, anything I want to do, there's at least one person I can call, and they're there.
And during that, be friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so simple. It's like, I don't want to be friendly. But you know what? The payback is greater than you'll guess.
Yeah.
And it will most likely surprise you how people will respond, and some won't.
Yeah.
And you're going to see, I knew it. What a waste of time.
The world sucks.
But that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's the ones that respond that you'll go, oh, well, that was fun. Yeah. So it can be someone, a checkout person at Costco, mm-hmm. right? You comment on their tag or their clothes or their hair.
Your tag is so clean.
Yeah. And a brief little conversation will happen that is so valuable.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like this priceless little pearl that you get that, I don't know, it will stick with you.
Yeah. We've done so many things in our world right now to streamline our lives. And
efficiency,
efficiency, getting everything done, doing all the things faster and whatever. But maybe reversing that in your life, you know, don't go through self-checkout. Go through the line. We may have to wait for a few people, but there's a real person at the end of that line that you can talk to. Even if you just say, yeah, I wasn't expecting to pay that much for toilet paper, but here's my cash. But yeah, try to find ways to create inefficiency in your life, because it will slow you down and it will make you have to connect in a different way.
This is one of the reasons why film has become so important to these kids, mm-hmm. because they see their lives, even at their young age, speeding up and speeding up and just, where's the end of this acceleration?
Right.
And they're going, I want something that demands that I slow down. Mm. And I think that's one of the reasons. And it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Because digital is getting to the point that it is pixel perfect, and yet it's not saying anymore.
Yeah. Which isn't a reflection of life at all. I mean, perfection is never a reflection of life.
And the problem is that it excludes the human interpretation. Mm-hmm. And so with film, you know, it can be pretty sharp, but it's not overly sharp. There's still some interpretation that has to occur in the brain mm-hmm. for you to come to understand what this thing is.
Yeah.
And the more interpretation involved, the more you become, the more you develop your senses and engage with this thing that's in front of you that you're looking at.
Yeah, I love that. Well, that's one reason I like to not edit these podcasts. You know, I mess up, I drop things, we say stupid things, but that's human. I mean, this is such an imperfect world that we live in. Why don't we embrace that and reflect that more in society, that, wow, life is just imperfect and messy, and we're in this together, and you're helping me through it, and I'm helping you through it, and together we're going to get through it in some way, hopefully in a beautiful, you know, community way.
So my mom used to do, she had her master's in home ec way back in the day when that was pretty rare.
I do not have a master's in home ec.
Ooh, man. And she was good at what she did.
I bet.
And I asked her if I could make a skirt for my wife. Mm-hmm. Little did I know she was going to bring all nine yards literally to this task. And so she's helping me, and we are making this thing. It's going to be primo. And I'm just about done with it, and it's looking really good. And she says, one last thing. She says, you need to do something in there that kind of messes something up. And I'm going, what? And she says, well, according to Native American folklore, if it's perfect, it's an affront to God.
Oh, well, God is happy with me.
Yes.
I love that. That's beautiful. So yeah, if you're feeling lonely, please reach out. You know, there are ways to combat this. We need to create more connection, because disconnection is a blockage of energy between us, and we need to remedy that, because it's slowly tearing us apart. So fix
it. Reach out.
Fix it. Yeah, reach out. Thank you, Roger, for your insight and your wisdom. And
it's always a pleasure, Perry.
It's always so good to talk to you.
Always.
And for doing my podcast all these times. So
my pleasure.
Always appreciated. And thank you for listening, everyone. Go out and do something outside. Do something tangible. Smell, touch, taste, hug. Talk to you soon. Love you.
To continue your journey toward love and connection, follow me at Life and Laughter Coaching on Instagram and Facebook.